Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. You are good to us. Lord, as we continue, Lord, to focus on you, Lord Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, Lord, pray that you'd use this tongue in my mouth, Lord, as a pen, Lord, that would write the words out that you want heard today. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive at all times, coming and going to your Spirit. May your word be what you tell us it is, alive and active in us, living in us, down to the very marrow of our bones, Lord. And Lord, have your way here today in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, a moment ago I told you that I was looking to shift gears and preach from Nahum about the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble, but the Lord said, not yet, not yet. I want you to continue to what you're talking about. Let us hold fast, part three. Now listen to this scripture out of Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you faint when times are tough, your strength is small. That's not God's will for you. He doesn't want you fainting and becoming weary in tough times, times of pressure, times of conflict, times of turmoil, times when you see government officials calling you terrorist. How do you respond to that? I heard it a little bit ago, and I heard more than one say it. That's not me. That's not me. And that's how we have to be. That shows we've got strength to stand, strength to fight. Because somebody says something does not make it true in you. You've got to have the strength, the backbone, the moxie. Huh? No, not me. Not me. Praise God. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. God wants us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. He tells us in Hebrews 10:35, don't cast your confidence away. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which is great recompense of reward. Don't set aside. Don't throw it away. Don't draw back. Don't pull back when the pressure intensifies. And it is intensifying. It's intensifying. Think of Israel. Just however many weeks ago it was now, October 7th, under attack the next day, the whole world was appalled at what happened. The whole world was appalled at what happened. Well, they decided then and there, this will not stand. And they have been fighting the battle. But under pressure, more and more pressure from the governments of the world to pull back. Our own State Department leader, Blinken, is his name. He said, you're killing too many. You're killing too many. And I saw another video clip this morning. The Hamas, they're not wearing uniforms. They're dressed in street clothes, firing their RPGs and rockets and grenade launchers and everything else, dressed like you and me. And so when one of them gets killed, what does the media do? You're killing the Gazans. You're killing the Palestinians. It's a ploy on their part. And the willing media is giving voice to evil. So you and I have to be really clear on what we know is true. They're against Israel. Guess what? We are grafted into that root. You and I are grafted into that root. They're against you. And it's starting to manifest with this ex-CIA NSA man calling you, if you're patriotic, you love your country, You want done what's right here in this nation? If you hold dear those amendments that were given to you, our ability to stand here and speak the word, preach the word of God is covered by amendments, our very amendments. And that second amendment is there to protect the first amendment. You give up one of them, you give them all up. You give them all up. We need to understand that they're here for a purpose and a reason. And the people that founded this nation were godly. They listened to God. They heard from him. Was it perfect? No, but they set it up and they set the system up in such a way that it could be changed. It could be amended. It could be perfected. Have we come a long way since that first day? Yeah. Yeah, there were things that weren't right. You ladies had no opportunity to have a say-so in your government when it was first founded, but you do now. You do now. So things have improved in that standpoint. Praise God. We're not to cast away our confidence, not in our government. This government that we have will fail. It will fail. All governments will fail. All of them will fail at some point in the future. We don't know how near or far, but we feel like we see it. We see it collapsing. It's going to happen. And the world's going to cry out, the remnant of Israel. We're not going to be here to cry out, but the remnant of Israel is going to cry out for God. They want their Messiah. Now I'm overlapping my timelines here. Understand that. The remnant of Israel is going to be later, much later, towards the end of the tribulation. We're not anywhere near the tribulation. We're not anywhere near it yet. It's closer every day, but it hasn't happened yet. There's some folks that think we're in this seal or this vial or this, that. We're not yet. No. I want to give you a little a peek at something. But we don't cast away our confidence. The just lives by faith. But if any man draws back, we do not draw back. We do not pull back. We do not slouch. We do not weary. We do not grow tired. And when we feel like we do, we've got to pick ourselves up. We got to grab the mirror and talk to ourselves. You're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We've got to do that, people. We've got to do that. You got to take the word and make it your own. You got to say, the Lord is good. He is my stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows me. I'm his. He knows me. I am his. He knows every detail that you're dealing with. Every concern that you have, every circumstance that you're facing, he knows. He knows. He knows his own. He knows them that trust him. He knows them. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews 4 tells us, 4:14 through 16 tells us that Jesus is our high priest, that we are to hold fast our profession, our confession. The words that we speak, we've got to hold fast. And that's really what Hebrews 10 was saying. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. That word confidence, it's not just a solid standing on an issue, knowing that it's going to be all right. It's that word confidence is Parisian. It means freedom to speak. Freedom to speak. Freedom to speak what? The worries and the of the world? The worries of the day? The bad news that's printed on the printed page? No. Freedom to speak what God has put in your heart. This word right here. Is what we need to have freedom in speaking. We can't hold back. We've got to put the word in our heart and speak it forth from our mouth. Because Jeremiah 33:11 says this, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return, the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. The sacrifice of praise. What does the high priest offer up? The sacrifice. The sacrifice. The Lord is our high priest. He's taken the words of your mouth, the sacrifice of your lips, giving praise unto God. And I don't know of any greater praise than to say, Lord, your word is true. It's in my mouth. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows me because I trust in him. That's the word of God. In my mouth, it's offering praise unto him. And he can take that as high priest and present it to our heavenly Father. And it comes to pass. God's word will not return unto him void. It will not be void in his presence. It will accomplish the thing which he sent it to. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities. Thank you, Jesus. You've forgiven me. Who heals all my diseases. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I am healed. I don't care what the doctor's report says. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what I look like. I am the healed of God because, Lord, you have healed all my diseases. You present that to your high priest. Oh, it's a sweet-smelling savor to him to hear his word come from you to him. That's why he sent it. That's why he gave it. Praise God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 13:15 says pretty much the same. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. How often? Continually. That should be our waking, our working, our waning hours of the day, our sleeping. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You are good. You're my stronghold, Lord. Praise God. You know me because I trust you. Praise the Lord. If you will, I'm going to flip over to the book of Revelations. How many of you like the book of Revelation? Do you read it? Do you read it? You're blessed if you do. You are blessed. If there is a blessing. It's right here in the first chapter. Verse 3, blessed is he, Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is when? At hand. The time is at hand. The time is now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Revelation 3, 10 through 13. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That first verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. The word of my patience. I did not state this earlier, but from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 tells us, you have need of patience. And we've talked about this several times. You have need of patience. You have need of endurance. You have need of the Greek word hupomino. Hupomino. And to remind us, hupomino describes a resolute decision to remain in one spot, to keep a position or to maintain territory that has been gained. You have gained a lot of territory in your Christian walk. And yet these people that are popping up on the news now want you to retreat, want you to draw back. Think about Satan's ploy. We're not talking about flesh and blood. We're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places that are dominating the thoughts of men, even though they might be heads of governments. Satan wants this Christian faith to crumble. He's always wanted that ever since the garden. He's done everything he could to foil God's plan. And he's still trying to do it. He's still trying to do it. He's going to fail, but he's going to make every effort to do it. That word patience, found in Hebrews chapter 10, 35, is also found in Revelation 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, the word of my endurance, the word of my hupomino. You have kept the word of my patience. And that word patience portrays a person who is under some type of heavy load, but who refuses to stray from his position because he is committed to his task. Christians, do you feel the weight that's pressing in this world? Are you aware of what's going on? That's the pressing. That's the weight. That we are, in spite of that weight, all the pressures that are coming against you, most of them external, some of them we create ourselves. I've created a lot of weight in my life for myself to bear. But praise God for the blood of Jesus. Man, he removed that weight when I gave it to him. But even though I've been born again since I was 10 years old, there's been a lot of opportunities in my life to pick up a weight and throw it on my shoulder. Y'all remember that book? Old book, Pilgrim's Progress. He was carrying a heavy load looking for help. There's a lot of Christians walking around carrying a bunch of baggage that they ought to lay at the foot of the cross. They ought to lay at the foot of the cross because we have no business carrying the things that God is that Jesus himself is carrying for us. Those weights, those burdens, those concerns. He said, cast all your care on me, for I careth for you. Be anxious for what? How many things? Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He's taking care of it. There's no reason for us to weigh ourselves down. We need to be free from that. So anything that I've created of my own, man, I take to the cross. I take to the cross, and the Lord takes it away. Praise God. Doesn't remove the pressures from this world. This world is running against God. And it's running hard against him. And it's doing everything to undermine this book, this word of God. It's been going on forever, but it has upped the ante within the last 10 years. 10 years. And I can't go without saying this. When our government tried to redefine what God had already defined related to marriage, the government said, it's okay, marry who you want. And look where it's gone. Look where it is. It has spiraled down quickly. And it's not done, I'm sure. It's not done. Will it snap back? I don't know if it will, because I think we're on the timeline, at such a point in the timeline that it's just going to continue. There's a time when it would snap back, but I think the Lord is ready. I sense it in myself. Do you sense it yourself? Do you think the Lord's ready to say, come up hither? I think he's warming up. I think he's getting ready to call that out. Come up hither. Praise God. I think it's close. Who was this written to? You know, Revelation has a lot of language in it. Some of it relates to us. Some of it doesn't relate to us yet. How do you know what in the book of Revelation relates to us or not? When I was 10 years old or so, Brother Dake would come out to our house and he taught on a big Bible canvas chart. It was about 30 feet long, and he would wrap that thing around our dining room and up the side walls, and we had people come out to the house, we had one of those ranch-style homes where the living room opened to the dining room, and Daddy, he had access to folding chairs, and we folded them up so tight there was enough room to walk down the center aisle about like that. And Brother Dake would come out weekly for I don't know how many weeks, for a number of weeks, and teach from that canvas chart. And I was 10 or 11 years old, and it was a big deal to me. I'd just been given a brand new birthday present, and it was like a police light. I could turn it on, and it would spin. It was red, and I could put it on my bicycle. I had it out there by the road, and I see a car coming. I'd turn that thing on. I'd say, here we are, here we are. I was excited about that. I loved Brother Day because he was a big man like my dad, but about 20 years older than my dad. So he was my dad's age. But something I learned from him in the book of Revelation, if you want to know how to read it with more clarity, Revelation 1:19 helps us. Revelation 1:19. Let's go right there and read for a moment. This is the Lord speaking to John. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That verse right there creates kind of segments the book. The things which are. Christ in the midst of the seven candlesticks, the vision that John just experienced. He's saying, write that down. Reveal that. Show that. And that's what revelation means. It's a apocalypso. It means an unveiling, a pulling back of the curtain, not a covering over of the curtain, not something that makes it obscure and hard to understand, but it's a revealing of the Lord Jesus himself. That's what revelation is. It's an unveiling, something that we can see and understand. So we need to be clear. And Brother Dake was so simple. One of the things he always did, he said, take the Bible literally. Take it literally. And where you have figurative language, find the literal meaning of that language. Don't let the language confuse you. The things which thou hast seen, that's the vision of Christ in the midst of the candlesticks found in Revelation 1, 12 through 18, as seen by John before he began to write. Part 2, the things which are, that is the things concerning the churches then existent. There were seven churches that he wrote to, all of them in that Asia Minor area. They were all within about a day's walking distance maybe from each other, about 20 miles apart or so. Write the things which are, that is the things concerning the churches then existent and those which should exist throughout the church age till the rapture. That includes us. That includes us. Now, I know there's some great thinkers and Bible scholars that try to make each book in that seven segment the church age. I don't do that personally. If it's written to the first one, what can I learn from that will help me? the second one, the third one, the seventh one. What's in there that helps me, helps my situation, helps my relationship with others in the church body, helps this church? They're all relevant. You shouldn't set any of them aside. This is the church age. These churches were in the church age. There is no difference as far as the age is concerned. What was relevant to them is relevant to us. And we need to view it that way. But those, he said, write the things which are. That is the things relevant to the church age. And you can go through chapters 2 and 3 and see letters to those seven different churches. And they're good to read because there's a lot of encouragement in those letters. And then there's some correction in those letters as well. But then he said, write the things which shall be hereafter. That is the things which shall come to pass after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church. Now, where is the rapture of the church in the book of Revelation? After the churches. After chapter 2 and chapter 3. Look at chapter 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter the churches. So, from just as a point of reference for you, as you're reading the book of Revelation, everything that took place from chapter 4 on through 22 takes place after you and me are no longer sitting together in these pews in this building. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord because he's going to say, come up hither. And it's coming soon. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall what? Rise. And those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Praise God. That's coming soon. I wanted to tell you that because we're reading from Revelation 3. This is from one of the letters to the churches. So is this relevant to us? Yes. Yes. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. This is the same thing we've been talking about from Hebrews 10:35. We need endurance. We need patience in our lives right now. We need hupomena. We need strength to stand under these ungodly pressures that we're sensing and seeing in this world, the ungodly pressures that you see and experience every day. We need strength to stand against those things that tell us good is now evil and evil is now good. How do you respond? Do you draw back from what you believe, what you know, what you've learned, what the Word of God tells us? Do we draw back from it? Do we have hupomeno? Do we have strength to stand regardless of the pressure? Regardless of the pressure. We must have strength to stand. We must have strength to stand. Let's bring it closer to home. Let's bring it closer to home. What if you're caring for an elderly parent and there's siblings involved and they're putting pressure on you to do something that goes against what you believe, what your elderly parent believes. It goes directly opposed to their faith. Do you draw back and acquiesce and give in to the pressure? Does that happen? Does that sort of thing happen? It happens every day. All you have to do is go down to the hospital for a little while. You'll see families. You'll see that's a great place to come together and join in prayer and love and devotion to someone you love. Or you can see some conflict. You can see some conflict. I've experienced it myself. My daddy had just, on several occasions, I recollect, my daddy was in the hospital in Tallahassee. He had experienced two or three heart attacks, just a year older than I am now. And he was in the hospital room, and my dad was such a good man. He was a good-hearted man, but his fuse was about this long. And if something weren't going just right, boom, boom. And some elderly patient was sharing the room with him, and that elderly patient's son was there telling him some things that weren't as respectful to the elderly parent as my dad thought it should have been. And he went boom. He went boom. And he yelled at me. He said, "Get him out of here." And I, you know, hey, what conflict wasn't from my dad. My daddy was trying to do what was right. He was trying to save that elderly parent because he was crying out for help, and the son was pouring the pressure on the elderly parent. Whatever it was, we're putting you in a home, we're doing this, we're doing that, whatever the situation was, that was the conflict. Does those things happen? Yes, they happen all the time. They happen all the time. How do you respond to that in your life, in your faith? Walk, if it happened to you. If it happened to you, well, how would you respond to that? We've got to know these things. We can't think of every situation beforehand, but some things have to be so in us, rooted in us, that it's just automatic. My response when it happened to me, no. And in louder tones, no, we're trusting God. We're experts. We've done this for 9 years. We know Mother. We're experts in caring for her. We've poured out our lives for 9 years. Nobody can come in here and tell us how to do it when it's against her will and our will. You've got to stand firm. That's hupomeno. You've got to stand your ground when you know that it's against God's will. That's what we need, strength to stand, because the pressures are real, people. And they're not getting less. They seem to be intensifying. But we are the proverbial frog sometimes in the boiling water, in the hot water. The heat's rising, but we don't sense it so much. We're just dealing with it. You're dealing with a whole lot more today than you were 10 years ago, as far as external pressure coming at you, coming at your faith, coming at your beliefs, coming at your just being a person of faith in a free country. There's more coming at you now than's ever come at you before. And we need to be aware of that. We need to have strength to stand. This is in the letters to the churches. This was the Church of Philadelphia, if you want to look it up. But this is a letter to us. Listen, I'm going to continue. I'm going to read that again as we close. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, the word of my endurance, the word of my standing strong in spite of all the pressure, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." There's a temptation coming to all this world, and you're not going to experience it. Praise God. Praise God. He's going to keep you from that. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast." Krateo, we talked about that one. Hold fast with power, that no man take your crown. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." That's you. That's you. A pillar unbreakable, unbendable, unmovable pillar in the temple of God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And that will happen soon, one day soon. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Praise God. The Spirit's speaking to us. He's speaking to us. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Don't bend. Don't bend to the will of the world. Don't bend to the ways of the world. Don't bend to the pressures of the world. Don't sway. Don't bow down. You stand strong. You be that pillar, that pillar, that unmovable pillar in the temple of God. When these pressures come against you and try to undermine your faith, stand strong. Stand strong. Praise God. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we do that. We stand strong in you. Lord, you've already done the work. The work is finished. And all we have to do is come into agreement with you, Lord. And we see it manifest in us. We will not bend to the world, to the pressures, the outside pressures, those forces that are trying to move us from our faith. And we don't bend or sway to the circumstances, Lord, that try to undermine our faith in you, to try to undermine the accomplished work that's already taken place in us because of your finished work, Lord Jesus. We will not give in. We will stand strong. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. Lord, as we go out, Lord, we look for opportunities to encourage others with this word. With this word, Lord. And Lord, as we have opportunity, Lord, we ask you for boldness to speak. To speak forth your word into others' lives. Lord, you said that the word grew and prevailed. You said that in Acts. You're saying that in our church. The word of God is growing and prevailing in this church and in us. And for that, Lord, we give you glory and praise and honor and thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can you say amen to that this morning?
Amen.
Amen.